And then I marked the calendar and said, let me see what's going to happen in 6 months. And a friend of mine that I went to school with had just bought a vehicle, went to work for General Motors, but he bought a Nissan. And he was working for GM at the time this automobile crisis was going on, and they was giving him a fit about driving a competitor's car in the parking lot. He's working in a truck.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Experience today. Praise his holy name. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this opportunity to speak to our hearts through your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the teaching that we are ministering this day to meet us where we are, to lift us where you'd have us to be. Unfold and disclose principles that we might practice for profit and be ever so careful to give you praise. And we count it done even now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I want to call your attention to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Familiar verse of scripture, and it simply says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. Our subject is in the form of a question today, and it's a simple question. Do you have respect for your father? Do you have respect for your father? One of the things that I want us to note as we look at this word, where we find the list of the Ten Commandments, and one of the things that I think we need to understand first and foremost is that this is God's law. This is God's command. This is God's order. This is God's structure. One of the things that I think we need to understand is about that first word, honor, which means to highly respect. As renowned, as one lifted up with glory. When it talks about honor, it talks about something that's very endearing. And so notice here that the father is joined with the mother, because it says, honor thy father and thy mother. And God fitly puts them as a team. He begins with the father, who is the head. And it's important to understand the structure of God, to understand the blessings of God. As the head of the wife, as the head of the family, he is the one that God gives the commandments to. You go back to Genesis and you'll discover that he gave the commandment not to Eve, but he gave the commandment to Adam because he was the head. Before that was children, that was the wife. And he made him the head of that wife and gave him authority and gave him the role and the responsibility of being the leader and the priest of his family. And so understanding God's structure, it's important for you to understand that the Father is the one. God himself has given the role and the responsibility in his household as not just the figurehead, but as the role model for which his family is to follow. And so when we begin to look at this and understand this, if God honors the Father, who are we to dishonor the Father? Maybe he may not be the father you want or the father you desire or the father that is textbook classic, but he is Father. And so what we must understand is that God does not put any disqualifying terms connected with that other than the fact that he says, Father. Father. He didn't say, honor thy good father. He didn't say, honor thy Christian father. He said, honor thy father. Here's what you got to understand. You didn't pick your father. So God knew who your father would be before you did. And in spite of that, he says, honor him. And see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you're going to note is that the responsibility of honoring is not on the father, but it's on the individual. It's on the child. It's on the one who is fathered by the father. And so that's important to understand, especially as we see the role of the father diminishing more and more in our society. We see the role of father being more and more absent in society. There was a Chinese man who had come and visited our country for 6 months, and he said, and after observing our culture for some 6 months, they asked him as he was preparing to go back to China, what impressed you the most about America? And the Chinese took a moment and he said, I think it is the way the parents obey the children. Other cultures recognize and realize the importance of the role of the father and the mother collectively in the home and the impact that it makes on the child, thus on society. Amen. And so men, we must be clear and careful to take our role very, very seriously, because with that role comes a responsibility. And if we do the responsible part right, the rewards will be wonderful. But if we do not do our responsible part right, then we will have to deal with the consequences. But right now, let's just deal with the precept, the law. Let's understand it and see it according to the word of God. Let's see what God has to say about it. First of all, Colossians 3:20 says, love your parents, show your love by obeying them. Now, why is this important? And one of the reasons why I want us to walk through the word is so that we can understand from a biblical perspective what God has commanded the children to do. And one of the problems with us as it relates to understanding what the word says is we don't teach our children. It's the responsibility both of the church and the home to teach the children what the word of God says. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, that means literally this, that the parents have, again, the role and the rule as relates to their responsibility to teach, to lead, to guide their children in all things. In all things. Somebody say all things.
All things.
That means you need to take the leading role and an active or proactive role in every arena of your child's life. Whatever your situation may be, whatever your educational background may be, whatever your difficulties may be, you need to realize God holds you responsible for leading the children in the right way. You don't have to know it all yourself, but you do need to know how to get what is necessary for your children before your children. And so it says, children, obey your parents in all things. That means, again, even when you don't think mom and daddy know as much as you, God say, obey them anyhow. Because can I tell you, God gives parents, especially godly parents, a divine wisdom. And God can feed into them revelation knowledge that they may not have gone to theological training for. They may not have been to any seminary. They may not have gotten a formal education, but they have what the old folk call mother's wit. Yeah. And that's how God speaks to them, deals with them. He shows them dreams in their rest. He comes to them in visions. He shares with them. Listen, even in the midst of that limited understanding and training, some wonderful truths about the Word of God as they seek Him about every area of your life. So this first word says, listen, you need to obey your parents in all things. Not just the things you think they know, but in all things. In the areas and the arenas that God has given them charge over you, and that is all areas. Look again, I want you to see not only that, Ephesians 6 and 1. Let's back up there if you don't mind and see again. Because it wants us to obey your parents, obey always, not only when you agree with them, but obey them. Ephesians 6, 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Now, when it says children, it is qualifying the fact that you are still under their roof. It is qualifying that they're still your provider. It's qualifying that you still live in their house. Now, here's the truth. You will always be your parents' children, but you should not always be a child. Y'all will catch that on your way home. And so listen, this word literally means for those who are under the roof of their parents, because listen, the first word in Exodus says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long upon the earth that the Lord thy God giveth thee. That has to do with the totality of the father and mother's role in your life, which means even when you get out of their house, you honor them. But this one is talking about while you're in their house. Now, you got some old children still in the house. And I got news for you. This applies to you. Listen, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right according to God's word. In the Lord. And this is an important role, because when you see it now, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it literally means out of the word of God, out of respect for God, in relationship with God. It means because God said it. Children, obey your parents. Something is wrong, and I'll share in the word, but something is wrong with the children when the parents aren't good parents. I said something is wrong with the children when parents aren't good parents. When the parents aren't what they ought to be, the children won't be what they ought to be. And so if the parent doesn't set the kind of examples that they ought to set before the children wind up learning what they live. And so 9 out of 10 times when you see a child, and you don't even have to know who the parent is to know whether or not that child has been reared right. When you talk with them, you'll tell by the way they speak to you, how they respectfully address you, how they say yes or yes, ma'am, no or no, sir, how they speak to you and look you in the eye, how they shake your hand with a firm handshake, how they speak with respect to you, not looking down, not talking to you as if you're one of their peers. I mean, listen at this. It's nothing worse than to see a child using language that a child shouldn't even know. But when a child is used to using language that is, again, against the word, the will, and the way of God comfortably, you can be well assured that they've got it most times from inside the house. Because if they got it outside the house and brought it in the house, their lips would be shook to the side. One way or the other, they look like they got some stroke issues. You'll see fingerprints in the face. If they even said a word and it slipped, they'd grab their mouth and look to see. Because they knew if their parents were near and heard that kind of talk, that they would be certainly chastised. But when they can say it comfortably, it's because they hear mom and daddy and brothers and sisters around there cussing. And I got news for you. You can't cuss your child out and not expect at some point in time your child is not going to cuss back. When you hear a little child, 3 or 4, you know, drop the ice cream cone and say, "I be." 9 out of 10 times, he done heard mom and daddy say that so much till he's already damned. When they know how to use four-letter words appropriately in sentence structure. I ain't talking about, you can tell folk who don't know how to cuss. They just cuss all out of place. It don't even make no sense. But folk who know how to cuss know how to coordinate their cussing words. Y'all sit here acting like I'm making this up. And you can tell children who grow up with that kind of language spoken before. And so you begin to discover that when they learn that, they live that. And when they live that, they demonstrate that. And so when they get outside the house, what has been learned on the inside of the house becomes apparent. You see, one of the things that I think the parents need to understand is that the children, it is difficult for the children to obey you when you don't set forth the kind of laws in place for them to obey you. See, long is the day gone where we say, "You don't do what I do, you do what I say." Because while in your face they might attempt to do that, behind your back they do what you do. And if you don't like what they do, it's because they're doing what you do. And that is the example that they learn. Look again, I want you to understand something else. You have to respect your parents and listen to their advice according to Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to turn there again because I want you to see all this in the Word. I want you to jot this down. I want you to teach this to your children at home. They don't need to hear just in church. That needs to be reinforced. Look at what Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Look again, it's putting it in a team tack mode here, because what the father institutes as instruction, the mother makes it clear as a law. They work together. Mother will remind the child while the father is at work, where you remember what your father told you, don't you? And then she'll sometime make it clear to him, "You wait till your father gets home. I'm gonna tell him what you did." But most mothers can't say that today because ain't no father coming back home today. And so the mother has to take on the role of father and mother. And even listen at this, fathers, if you're not in the house, it does not dismiss you nor excuse you from being a father, either in provisions or in precepts. In other words, it's still your responsibility to rear that child, to train that child, to affect that child in a positive way, and to give to him instructions or them instructions, because that is your role still given by God. And so here again, it's important to recognize that you're to listen to their advice. Listen again to what it says, Proverbs 1 and 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." What are instructions? But notes on life, notes on right, that one must follow as right. And so when they are instructed, it is so that it is a lesson to be learned. It is for those instructions to be carried out, to be followed, so that one can end up like the instruction says. And then again, when the word talks about and not forsake the law of thy mother, of course, the law means, again, a precept. The law means something that is etched in stone, if you will, that is unchangeable, that has to do with character, that has to do with obedience, that has to do with a standard. And so it is the father and the mother collectively making a well-balanced child. I want you to see something else. Matthew 5 and 14, because the Jews back in the day didn't play. I want you to see what the word says. Look at this, Matthew 15 and 4. Man, how different would life be today, society be today? Matthew 15 and 4. Matthew 15 and 4. I want you to see what the word says. Now, this is Jesus talking. And it says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And look at what he goes on to say. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. My. Now, do you know how many children would be dead today if they cursed their father or their mother? And how many of you have had the experience of witnessing, or maybe in your ignorance, cursed your mother or your father? In this time, Jesus said, it was written that if they curse their father or their mother, that they should die the death, which means that they should be put to death by their own actions. Here in the earth realm, the father and the mother was the highest structure and standard that God had given for them to obey. Not the police or the officers of the law or the court, but father and mother. They were the highest supreme order that the children were to obey. Because here's what God knew. If they disobeyed the parents, they were going to disobey God. If they had no respect for their father and their mother, they weren't going to have any respect for God. And so if they cursed their father and their mother, or their mother, Bible says, let them die the death. Now, I do remember some of the folk back in the day, if a child had tried to cuss them, they almost died to death. Because that parent would pick up whatever came close to them, pick up a glass and hum it at their head, amen, a broom, a stick, anything. Oh, I can promise you, before the sun went down, they were going to feel the wrath. Y'all don't remember back in the day when parents, and I've seen this and I ain't that old, when parents really did wash their children's mouth out with soap. Anybody remember anything like that? I'm serious. I've seen folk put hot sauce on their children's mouth. Your tongue that hot? Let me show you something. I mean, they went with various measures of saying, you ain't going to cuss me in my house and think I'm gonna say nothing about it. You done lost your ever loving mind. Y'all getting all, who do you think you are? Amen. Well, you know, it's far gone from those realities. So children grow up thinking their mom and their daddy is their friend. And listen at this. I understand the term that mama is my best friend, dad is my best friend in terms of endearment, but not in terms of dealings. No, mama, daddy, you are the mama, the daddy. You are not trying to be on the level of your child. You are not trying to be hanging out with your child, going on dates with your child, unless you chaperone him, unless you are there making sure everything is in order. But you ought not be there and they look at the mother and the daughter and can't tell who's who. because the mother's hemline is just as short as the daughter's. Y'all ain't got the same man. Huh? Fathers, you ought not be in the company of your sons acting like you with your fellow friends. You ought not take them with you doing things, first of all, that you ought not do, and making him a witness to those things, because you can't tell him don't do what he sees you doing. You smoke dope, what makes you think he ain't gonna want to smoke it? Most men who smoke cigarettes, most, not all, most of them got it because they saw their daddy smoking it. They saw how daddy handled things. He got mad, he lit up a cigarette. He fussed and cussed with a cigarette butt. You know, they made it look inviting. They take a cigarette, put it on their lip, be talking cigarette, never fall from their lips, cuss you out. That was cool. They ain't heard what you say, they just like watching that cigarette. How he do that? Have you ever seen, and I'm very serious, but have you ever seen smokers who smoke so classically that it almost make you want to smoke? It's just the cool demeanor about them. And you like the demeanor, you don't really want to smoke, but it just seemed like they just got this coolness about them. But anyway, most of the things that they learn, they get it from their mama or they get it from their daddy. So that was Mr. Will I Am who said to a young lady, baby, where you get your body from? And she said, I got it from my mama. And I thought about how nice would it be if a young man would say, baby, where you get your Bible from? And she say, I got it from my mama. Y'all sitting there looking holier than thou. What are you giving them to say they got from you? What kind of example are you setting that's going to reflect you? And so when you begin to work on this thing, you know, you got to make the reality of what you want to be a reality. By doing it in the home, by making sure that they listen to you and you set the kind of examples. You ought not be wanting to go around talking. I mean, you know what? You put a beat, a nice little beat to anything, and fools abide. Fools abide. Christian fools. Ain't nothing glorious about being a PIMP. Now, raise the hand just before I even go any further. Who know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Look at almost all the church know what I'm talking about. These are Christians. Know what I'm talking about? I don't know what you heard about me. But I'm a what? But I'm a P-I-M-P. I'm a pimp. I wouldn't say that around my son. But this is what I would say. I don't know what you heard about me, but I'm a preacher of the B-I-B-L-E. Let nobody bother me, because I'm a preacher of the B-I-B-L-E. But I can go on, but that, you know, you handle your business. Oh my God, our time is gone. Well, I guess that's a good note to end on. The question is, do you have respect for your father? And if not, God holds you responsible for that role. Give the Lord a hand of praise for his word today. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are, my brother, my sister.